Silence is golden. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Silence is the best answer to a fool. Or Proverbs 17:28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. We are told the value of silence. And certainly some of us use a lot of words. We waste a lot of words. Is there anybody here who hasn't ever said anything that they've regretted? We do, don't we? We gossip, we lie, we're boastful, we use unwholesome language. The tongue is dangerous. We hear it in the book of James, not only in this passage that we just read, but also later in chapter 3, where it talks about how difficult and yet how important it is to tame our tongues. We are to be swift to hear and slow to speak. But sometimes we go too far in the other direction. We're silent when we should speak up. And this can be just as harmful and just as dangerous and just as sinful as saying the wrong thing. In Psalm 39, David confesses the sin of silence. In the beginning of the psalm, David confesses that he started out with right intentions. Maybe his mama also taught him, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. David was with some people that he labels wicked. And whether these were people who were acting wickedly, particularly against him, which is very likely, or whether he was hearing this speech and decided that they were wicked people and he was not going to participate, we're not quite sure. But David was angry about the things that they were saying and the way that they were acting. He was experiencing the difficulty of keeping his mouth shut in anger. But he desired to please God more than going off on his enemies, and so he holds his tongue. This is wise. This is right silence. But in the second part of verse 2, David says, I held my peace from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. Whether he was so afraid of saying the wrong thing that he kept silent, or whether it was because he was so angry and God gave him a word that he should say, but he didn't want to speak what was right because he was mad and he didn't feel like they needed to hear it or deserved it, he kept that in his heart. But it didn't make him feel any better not to speak. In fact, he felt worse. Have you ever regretted not saying something that you should have? Is there a time when you wish that you had spoken up? Sometimes, like David, in our anger, we don't speak good because we don't believe that people deserve to hear it. But this is why the gospel was given, to save the lost. I'm amazed when people expect wicked people not to be wicked. They expect them to be good before they're treated with kindness or are privileged to hear the gospel. But wicked people aren't going to be anything other than what they are. It is Christ who transforms. And we know that that most often the initial transformation often occurs as the Holy Spirit applies a word of truth, the hearing of the gospel, to a person's heart. The word must be heard before it can be applied. We don't speak good because people necessarily deserve it. We speak good because we are called to share life. We are called to repay evil with kindness. We are called to speak peace. We are called to treat others the way that we would like to be treated. And we are called to proclaim truth. Jeremiah, the prophet, kind of felt like David. He was tired of being rejected. He was tired of preaching the truth over and over and over again to wicked people who had no desire to hear. They weren't changing as a result of all of Jeremiah's preaching, and Jeremiah wanted to quit. In fact, he tried to keep silent. He tried not to preach anymore. He tried, like David, to keep from speaking the good. But this is what happened to Jeremiah. If you'd like to turn there, it's Jeremiah chapter 20, and we'll begin in verse 7. It's on page 1206. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it all in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him, let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived, and then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. He didn't want to say it anymore, but the word was like a fire shot up in his bones, and he had to keep preaching, and he knew that God was on his side, even when the wicked were not. Jeremiah had to keep preaching, and God was with him. Jeremiah was not responsible for what people did with the message that he preached, but he was responsible for preaching the message. He was responsible for telling the people what God wanted him to say. In the same way, we are not responsible for how people respond to the good that God is telling us to say. But we are responsible for whether or not we share the truth, whether or not we share the good news. David opens his mouth in prayer to God, and this is exactly what Jeremiah does too. That is right speech. When we're angry, when we're frustrated, prayer is a wonderful place to begin because we can always lay our anger before God. But David, in his prayer, has a very interesting prayer request. He says, tell me how short my life is. He asks God to remind him how short life is. I think in praying this prayer, David is reminded to make the most of every opportunity. Maybe you've heard the saying, life is short, pray hard. David realizes that he might not get a second chance to speak good and to speak right. But David doesn't want his time to be wasted. The book of Ecclesiastes also focuses on the brevity of life. In chapter 3, we read that famous passage where there is a time and place for everything. And in verse 7b of chapter 3, it says, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. The difficulty for us is knowing when those times are. So we ask for wisdom, when to speak and when to be silent. The same letter of James that tells us we need to bridle our tongues also tells us to go to God and ask for wisdom, and God will give it to us in generous amounts. We too are called not to waste the time that we've been given. We don't know how much we have, but it's all short, as David says, like a breath or a handbreadth in God's eternity. As David focuses on how short his life is, he knows that his only hope is in the Lord. He confesses his sin, and this time he's quiet again. But he's quiet this time because he knows that as he looks at his life, everything that has come to him has come at the hand of the Lord. God has been active even behind the scenes all along. And God has been testing him, and David asks for removal of God's hand because he knows that part of what he's received is a consequence for his sin. Now David asks God not to be silent to his tears, He doesn't want God's silence. And he feels like Job did at the end of the book of Job when God confronts Job out of the whirlwind. And Job says, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Turn your gaze away from me. David asks the Lord not to even look at him because he knows how fragile he is before God's piercing gaze. He needs a break from all the trials and testings. We don't know how or if God answered that prayer, but either way, God remained David's hope. And God is our only hope, both in seasons of blessing and in seasons of trial and temptation. At the beginning of this message, we heard some quotes that say that silence is good. But here are some quotes that tell us when silence is bad. In the end, Martin Luther King Jr. said, in the end, we will not remember the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Abraham Lincoln said, to sin by silence when men should protest makes cowards of men. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. We want to know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, of course, World War II, how Germany got to be where it was. It wasn't because everybody was brainwashed. It was because there were people who didn't speak the truth, that knew the truth and knew the good and didn't do anything about it. Or when our enemies are against us and our friends remain neutral and unconcerned. Again, from this letter in James, where we are told to control our tongues, it also reminds us that life is short. And just like Psalm 39, it also exhorts us to do good. Look, if you would, at James chapter 4, which is right after when he tells us to tame our tongues, a little bit after that. James chapter 4, 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil, wrong speech. Anyone then who knows to do the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Anybody who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. So the good that we know to do and fail to do includes our speech as well as our actions. Sometimes we fail to speak what is right and true and good that other people need to hear. Not speaking good is how evil gains power. Not speaking good is how relationships are further damaged. Not speaking good results in people not hearing the gospel. Did David get another opportunity to speak good to those who were being wicked? We don't know. Sometimes God gives us second chances. Sometimes God is even so gracious to give us third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth chances. But other times, opportunities pass us by, and all we can do is ask God for forgiveness. We can recognize that our lives are short and seek to make the most of every opportunity that is given to us. We must speak the good because we don't know how much time we've been given. We ask the Holy Spirit to make us sensitive to the Spirit's prompting for guidance. We ask the Spirit to give us words to speak. And Jesus promised that we would receive the right words at the right time. Maybe there's a difficult conversation that you have been avoiding where you need to speak good. Maybe it's asking or seeking forgiveness, or sharing the gospel with a friend or a neighbor that you know is in a place in their life spiritually where they're not right with the Lord. Maybe it's a relationship where you need to let somebody know that you care. I have found that when I finally get the courage to have those difficult conversations, they always turn out better than I expected. Has God given you opportunities to tell the gospel or give your testimony or speak a word of truth that you've missed out on because you were at odds with somebody or angry with the person that needs to hear it, or because you just don't like that person? If you've lost the opportunity to speak forgiveness, to speak good, then ask forgiveness like David did, like Jeremiah did. And if you are given the opportunity to speak good, don't put it off because you don't know how much time you have. Tell the truth, speak kindness and blessing, and honor God with your words as well as with your actions. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so careless with our tongues. We try to control them, but we fail time and time again. Sometimes we say the things we shouldn't say, and other times we don't say the things that we should say. So we ask your forgiveness. And we ask, like David, that you would remind us that our lives are short, and we are called to make the most of every opportunity. We thank you that you are a good and generous God. Not only do you forgive, but you give abundant wisdom to those who ask for it. You have given us the Holy Spirit, who has promised to speak and to prompt us and to put the words in our mouth that other people need to hear. Help us to be obedient and help us to be discerning. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.